on behalf of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and our Acharyas of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, we begin the ceremony of initiation. Today it is 10:10:10, and the ceremony began exactly at 10:10 for Nityananda Prabhu's pleasure. He was very excited about this. At the commencement of such ceremonies, Srila Prabhupada would have us recite a particular verse which very much encapsulates the spirit and the purpose of initiation, and in fact, the very spirit and purpose of the human form of life. Om apavitra pavitro va sarvavastam katopi va yasmadet pundarikaksham sabhaya pyandara suci. Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. Whether one is pure or impure, or even having passed through all circumstances in life, one who remembers the beautiful Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has eyes like a fully bloomed lotus, becomes purified from both within and without. Srila Prabhupada gave the example, when a drop of water falls from the sky, it is pure, transparent. But when it comes in contact with the ground, it assimilates foreign matter and becomes muddy, loses its transparency. But if we filter that water, we bring it back to its original natural state. Similarly, our original nature is that we are pure. Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. We are all part of Krishna. As parts of Krishna, we are qualitatively one with Krishna, but quantitatively a small particle. The example is given of the sun planet in relation with the rays of the sun. Qualitatively, each ray gives off heat and light exactly like the planet of the sun. But the difference is the sun is the origin of the sun ray, and the sun is infinite, while the sun ray is infinitesimal. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented this in his all-inclusive Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva philosophy, that we are inconceivably simultaneously one with God and different from God forever. One in quality, Srila Prabhupada quoted a verse, Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yogadati Kamon. This is how the dynamics relate with one another. There is one Supreme Eternal, and emanating from that one Supreme Eternal are infinite eternals. The infinite eternals are always subordinate to that one supreme eternal. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu summarized it all in such a practical way. Naham vipro nacha narapatira napi vaisho na shudro. He's saying, I'm not any of these temporary designations that have to do with the body or society. What really am I? Who am I? And what is my true aspiration of life? Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayora Das 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 Anudas Jai Maharaj. That we are all the eternal servants. He's aspiring to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of the Gopis, Sri Krishna. To magnify how Lord Chaitanya gave prominence to this concept of servitude. In his teachings to Srila Sanatana Goswami, he began with this premise. Let us examine the relation of Lord Chaitanya and Sanatana Goswami. Because it is said, Mahajano yena gatasa panda, that the path of perfection is to follow in the footsteps of great souls. Sanatana Goswami, he is our Sambandha Guru. By his teachings and by his life, he gives us the way by which we can establish our eternal relationship with Krishna. Sanatana Goswami had everything material and more. He was a Saraswat Brahman, which means he was born in the highest, most prestigious sector of society. He was the home minister of the King of Bengal, which means he practically had the power of the king. He was the most powerful man under the king in the entire kingdom. Because he served the king with such efficiency, the king made him like his own brother and divided his own wealth with Sanatana and Rupa Goswami. Sanatana Goswami was equivalent today of being more than a billionaire. Because the billionaires today, you don't know what they're going to be tomorrow. But kings were not elected, nor were their ministers. He was set for life with magnificent palaces, beautiful estates, the finest clothes, ornaments, jewels, finest foods. If any of you have gone to Ramakeli, the place where Sanatana Goswami was one of his homes, we find where he bathed. Now it's over 400 years later, and he left that place, so it wasn't kept. But even now, 400 years later, we went there with Giriraj Swami Maharaj and about 2,000 devotees, and we all bathed at the same time in his bathing, in his bathtub. It's called Rup Sagara. I mean, Sanatan Sagara. Rupa Goswami had an equally big-sized bathtub. And the ladies were on one side and the men were on the other side, and we all bathed, and we could have fit another 2,000-3,000. That was his bathing place. And he was the greatest scholar on earth. He profusely knew Sanskrit, Arabic, Persian, Bengali, and whatever other languages of other scriptures that were followed in those days. And he built big, beautiful assembly halls where he would call the greatest scholars of the country to discuss scripture and philosophy. When they all assembled, Rupan Sanatan Goswami, not only were the greatest scholars, respected by even the greatest scholars, but they were so handsome. Their beauty was stunning. They had an effulgence. They looked like Cupids. And even though they had such beauty, such knowledge, such wealth, and such power, a certain ingredient mixed in all that made them all attractive. And that was, they had no false pride. They were totally humble. Anyone who came to the assembly while they were sitting in the head seats, even in front of all these great wise people, anyone who would come in, they would get off of their seats and humbly greet them and serve them, give them prasad, give them accommodations. But for the purpose of serving the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they left all of it. In order to do so, Sanatan Goswami had to leave his magnificent palace, and he was put in prison. And in those days, prisons were really prisons. He was shackled with chains. He somehow or other used his good intelligence to escape. And then he was a fugitive. He couldn't go on a main street. He had to be running through the jungles to escape the law. This is what he was willing to do to serve the Lord's mission. Of course, he could have served the Lord's mission. He was already serving the Lord's mission when he was the home minister. But he wanted to surrender everything. What an example. Most people become prisoners or fugitives because they want something that they don't have, or they want to keep something that they have, and they break laws, yes? Or because of anger, or lust, or pride. But Sanatana Goswami had absolutely everything. He became a prisoner and a fugitive because he was trying to get out, because he was trying to get away from it all. And ultimately, he came to Varanasi on his way to Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya happened to be there. Lord Chaitanya was just on his way back to Puri from Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya, in the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya, could sense that Sanatan was there. So he told Chandrasekhar, "There's a saintly person outside. Please bring him in." Chandrasekhar Acharya went out, came back, said, there's no holy men out there. He said, no, I think there is. Please go again. He looked around, came back. There's no holy men out there. He said, is there anyone out there? He said, there's one beggar mendicant sitting there. He said, oh, Lord Chaitanya went out, And here's Sanatana Goswami sitting in rags, and Lord Chaitanya picked him up and embraced him and started to cry in ecstasy. After some days of beautiful association between the two, Sanatana Goswami inquired from Lord Chaitanya. He said, I am most condemned, and I'm the most fallen. I'm addicted to worldly activities. I'm addicted to satisfying my own whims. And I don't know anything that's important. I'm so atrocious that people call me a pundit, a great scholar, and I believe them. Even though I don't even know who I am. I don't know where I'm going. Please instruct me. Who am I? And why am I suffering these threefold miseries? Miseries related to the body and the mind, due to other people or other living beings, or to natural disturbances. What is the way out? Tell me, what is the purpose of life? He wasn't inquiring officially or ritualistically. He was inquiring from his heart. Now, how is it that such a great cultured man is thinking, I'm the most fallen? Now, sometimes people like us, who really are fallen, when we say we're the most fallen, we're saying it because we think people will think it's cool if I say it. If I say I'm the most fallen, it'll make me look very advanced. And then people will know how advanced I actually am if I say I'm the most fallen. But the Lord sees our intent. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hriddesher chiratishtati. As Krishna is seated within our heart as the Paramatma. And when we speak, he's not just hearing the words that come out. He hears that too. He's everywhere. Krishna says in Gita, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for that person I'm never lost, nor is that person ever lost to me. But at the same time, the Lord is seated in the very, very core of the heart of our hearts. And before you even say something, the Lord knows exactly why you're saying. What is your intent? And all of our spiritual advancement, essentially, is based on how the Lord evaluates our intent. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. Krishna says, even if you offer me a fruit, a water, or a flower, with love, I accept it. Duryodhana, the intent of that child is he wants his mother's full attention. And that means he may want to be somewhere where he's alone with you. A subtle hint, I'm sorry. Duryodhana he invited Krishna for prasad. And he had the most magnificent, incredibly prepared meal in golden cups and plates, studded with precious jewels. And he had gifts to give Krishna. Jewels and silks. And he had the most excellent musicians to perform for him. Everything. But his intent was he wanted Krishna to somehow or other facilitate his selfishness. So Krishna walked right by his palace and didn't go in. And that really insulted Duryodhana. And he went to Vidura's house. Vidura wasn't a very wealthy person. He wasn't even expecting Krishna. According to legend, all he had was a banana. He was so nervous that he gave Krishna the banana peel. And Krishna ate it. And he completely enjoyed it. He was totally satisfied because it was offered with love. Atapum beard vijastreshtas varana shrama vibhaga shashvanushtatasya dharmasya samsidir hari toshana. The success of whatever we do from a spiritual perspective is that we please Krishna. That's all. You could win and be a champion in whatever you may do, even in devotional service. But if your attitude doesn't please Krishna, you don't really gain much of anything spiritually. But even if you come in last place and nobody in the world recognizes you, if you please Krishna by your intent, you are supremely victorious. It's perfect success. Hanuman was lifting mountains to build a bridge, and the spider was kicking grains of sand. Ramchandra told them, "You are both equal, because you're both doing the best you can to please me. I don't see what's done. I see that you're doing the best you can to please me." So when Sanatan Goswami was speaking these words, the Lord understood. He meant it. And the Lord was, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was actually overwhelmed by the humility of Sanatan Goswami. Sometimes the Lord would say to Rupan Sanatan, "Please stop being so humble because you're breaking my heart." Now that's quite powerful. To be so humble that you break the heart of God. At the time of the dissolution of the universal creation, Mahavishnu, he breaks everything just by inhaling once. He just goes, that's it. The entire creation is broken, annihilated. Yes? And when he wants to create it, he just exhales once. And the entire creation comes out of him. So this is what we're talking about, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. The Lord breathes, and we also breathe. Yes? But what's the difference? All of you in the room today, how many times did you inhale and exhale since 10:10 on 10:10:10? And my next question, you've probably inhaled and exhaled hundreds of times, who cares? But when the Lord inhales, we care. So this is his power to break things when he desires. He destroys everything with an exhalation, in an inhalation. But the humility of a devotee breaks the heart of the Lord, makes the Lord cry. The Lord, who is all powerful, by his own sweet will, becomes overpowered by the humility and the love of his devotee. Krishna told a lie just to satisfy Bhishma Dev. How is that possible? The absolute truth telling a lie. That lie was a higher truth than truth, because it was simply an expression of his love to show I'm conquered by the love of my devotee. Krishna promised, I will not fight in Kurukshetra battle. But Bhishma decided, I'm going to make it so either Arjuna is killed by me or Krishna is going to have to fight. He was conquered. And Krishna was bound and tied up by the rope of Yashoda, a simple gopi, a lady. She wasn't a champion athlete. She was just, she would milk cows and churn butter, churn yogurt into butter. But she was able to bind Krishna. Lord Chaitanya told Haridas Thakur that my greatest pleasure is to become a prisoner of the love of my devotee. Now, in this world, everyone wants freedom. In India, we know the extent Mahatma Gandhi and Subhas Chandra Bose endeavored to get freedom from the British Empire. And here in America, there was Benjamin Franklin and George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and all those personalities who fought and risked their lives to get freedom from the British Empire. And the slaves of America, there was a whole civil war, the ghastliest war. I think there was more people killed in that war than any other war American ever fought. It was America against America to free the slaves. Freedom is something that's very, very, it's our nature to be free. Because the nature of the soul is it's liberated. It's beyond birth, beyond death. So we want freedom. But higher than freedom is the Lord himself, who is Swarat, supremely independent and free. He wants to be a prisoner, bound by the shackles of the love of his devotee. Because that gives him even more pleasure than being free. In sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami mahasucha. Krishna tells, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall relieve you of all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Now, in the material sense, surrender is not at all attractive. In a material sense, In World War II, after we dropped the atom bomb on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, and it just obliterated the nation and killed so many people and crippled everything, then the Japanese surrendered. Wasn't a very happy moment for them. And when the IRS comes and asks you for your taxes, for those of you who pay taxes, you have to surrender your money, right? It's not a happy thing for most people. But when Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me, there's nothing happier, nothing more blissful. The ultimate freedom, freedom from all suffering, freedom from all the limitations of material existence are realized when we surrender. But that surrender is sweet because it's out of love. Because as we realize Krishna's beauty, Krishna's sweetness, Krishna's infinite love for us, Krishna's incredible transcendental pastimes, when we taste the ultimate nectar of Krishna's name, we spontaneously surrender out of love. There's nothing higher, nothing more beautiful than that surrender, because we're overpowered by Krishna's beauty and love. We surrender to that. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu. Karuna means kindness. Everyone's attracted to someone who's kind to you. Yes? Real kindness is something that's quite rare in this world. Krishna's Karuna Sindhu. His kindness to each and every living entity is a Sindhu, it's an ocean. But it's not like these little tiny oceans like the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean. What to speak of that toxic Gulf of Mexico? It's an ocean with no bottom and no shores. It's an infinite ocean that extends forever, everywhere. Karuna Sindhu. And it's not that all these millions and millions of beings have to share the same little ocean. Krishna gives that ocean to each and every one of us, personally and individually. That is Krishna's kindness to every living being. Ye yatham am krapatyante tams tathaiva bhajamyaham mama vart manu vartante manushya parata sarvasha. This means Krishna reveals that ocean of kindness in proportion to our surrender. Do we want it? He's so kind. If we don't want it, the ocean's everywhere, but we don't see it. We're looking for our happiness in muddy little, the entire material existence compared to this ocean of Krishna's. All the pleasures in material existence are like the muddy water in the hoofprint of a hog. We won't even use calf today. It's all like the hoofprint of a hog. How much is contained in that. Now, where hogs go, their hoof prints usually have all sorts of other types of substances in it. But just to try to find some nectar in that little hog print, we're turning our backs from this ocean of Krishna's love, which is just for me and you. But if we just turn and want it, then Krishna overpowers us with that love. And we surrender to that love. But Krishna is so kind. Does it make sense that a sun ray can conquer the sun planet? Is that logical? Spiritually. Because Krishna's Rasaraj, his Rasa Bihari, he's most expert connoisseur of loving relationships. Even though we're little sparks, if we just love Krishna, if we just receive his love and love him in return, then Krishna voluntarily, spontaneously becomes conquered by that love. He says, I become a prisoner in the heart of my loving devotee. I can't escape. Why can't he escape? He doesn't want to escape. That is bhakti. So Sanatan Goswami is speaking this way, and Lord Chaitanya says, you're breaking my heart, your humility and your devotion. And Lord Chaitanya would sometimes embrace Sanatan Goswami and cry to see his devotion. And in this particular case, in this particular instance in Varanasi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatan Goswami that you are so intelligent and spiritually advanced that you are fit to be my guru. But just for the sake of strictness, just for the sake of being an example for the world, you are asking me these questions. You already know the answers, but you're asking me. Sanatana Goswami didn't feel that way, but that was the Lord's way. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his teachings. He was teaching the entire world for all time to come through his loving devotee. And he began his message, Jivara Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas, that we are all eternally the servants of Krishna. I remember when I first became a devotee of Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON, I wrote a letter to my parents, and I just told them I was happy and everything was nice, and I signed it according to the standard procedures. I wrote, your servant. Then I wrote my name. My parents wrote back, and they, you know, after telling, you know, how happy they are to hear me, they say, why do you demean yourself by saying you're our servant? You know, we've given you so much, and is that what you want to identify her with, as a servant? then the next letter I wrote, I signed the servant of your servant. And their reply, they told me how they were and everything, but they did not address that subject. Because they were afraid what I would become if they questioned being the servant of the servant. I think they understood our philosophy that I would say the servant of the servant of your servants. And if they kept doing it, Anudas, the most insignificant servant of the servant of all servants. Vrindavan Das Thakur in his Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, he said the highest title that one can achieve in all of humanity, he said it's beyond having all mystic powers, it's beyond elevation to the highest planets, it's beyond mukti, liberation, is to earn the title of Das, being a servant of the Lord, because it gives us entrance into the eternal loving pastimes of the spiritual world. And higher than Das is Das, Das, Anudas. To want to serve those who love the Lord, and serve those who love the Lord, and to serve those who serve those who serve those who serve those who love the Lord. And it carries on. This love is dormant within our hearts. The expression of love is to serve. It's like this mother, not you, the other one. The baby was crying. So the mother really didn't want to leave this temple room. You could see she was doing everything she could to make that baby stop crying, and the baby kept crying, and finally she had to go. Why did she go? To serve her child. She put her child's welfare above her own desire. That act of service was an expression of love. And it's beautiful. And she'll make more advancement outside than inside. Of course, hopefully she'll come back. Because she's expressing love. And if you see Krishna within the heart of your child, this child is Krishna's divine child. I'm the servant of the servant. Krishna's acceptance. For a mother or a father, Krishna accepts our service through how we serve our children. If we do it in a way where the body, mind, and soul of the child are harmonized by the way we serve. Lord Chaitanya taught Nityasiddha Krishna Prema. Nityasiddha Krishna Prema. Sadya Kabunoi. Sravanadi Sudhi Chiti Kodiya Yudhoi. That this love for Krishna that we are speaking about, the love that is so sweet and attractive that it conquers God Himself, it is within the heart of every living being. Wherever there's life, there's a pure soul that has that love dormant in their heart. The mosquito that bites you has that love in his heart. And he's looking for that love in the wrong direction. trying to find that love in your blood. But because your blood is composed of prasadam, then it's gonna, that mosquito's going to become very fortunate. No, we can't. Anyways, that's another subject. Every living entity, that love of Krishna is dormant within their heart. And the different species of life are just different degrees in which the potential to access that love is covered due to karmic past. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. The human life is very special. Because in this human form of life, we have the opportunity to just make some serious choices and access, awaken that love. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Gauda Chandra Bole, Kota Nidra Jayo Maya. This was Lord Chaitanya's message. Jeev Jago, wake up, sleeping soul. Wake up. The ecstasy of love of God is within you. Anandam buddhivardhanam, the real happiness that you're all searching for, it's within you, in that love. Wake up. You're sleeping in daydreams and night dreams in the lap of Maya or illusion. Srila Prabhupada defines Maya as that which is not. We're thinking that these things and these relationships based on a things, the body things, are going to make us happy. But that's not what it is. What's going to make us happy is spiritual relationships. Mach chitta mat gata prana bodhyanta parasparam katyantash chamam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. Tushyanti cha ramanti cha. This means devotees derive the infinite transcendental happiness by just sharing Krishna with each other, by talking about Krishna, by singing about Krishna, by serving Krishna, by remembering Krishna. When Krishna is the link between us in a mood of service to each other, it awakens the love of our souls, the love for Krishna and the love for each other, and ultimately the love for all living beings. You see, initiation or accepting guru, it's not just the formality of throwing some seeds in a fire and speaking some vows and getting a name. You may like it, you may not like it. It's about committing our hearts to the path of devotion. And again, Mahajano Yena Gatasa Pananda. We learn how to do it through great souls like Sanatana Goswami. The founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is our beloved Srila Prabhupada. Not only did he present to us the eternal teachings of Lord Krishna in perfectly pure, unadulterated way. But he lived those teachings. Every aspect. Lord Chaitanya, when he was a student, he was the most exemplary student. As a grihastha, married man, he was the most exemplary grihastha. He wanted to teach everybody everything. And he did. But for the sake of reaching out to the very envious, selfish, egoistic, and attached people, the Lord accepted the order of sannyas, a renunciate. This year marks the 500th anniversary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking sannyas. It's very auspicious to take initiation or make any commitment in this year, because it's the year of the ultimate commitment. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left behind the most loving, caring mother in creation, the most loving, caring wife in creation, the most beautiful abode of Navadvip, which was none different than Vrindavan, the house of Srivas, where he was with his most loving associates every night, all night, chanting and dancing in ecstasy. To wander off alone through the forest as a sannyasi. This year marks where he left his home. And by his mother and his devotees' appeal, he made his home in Jagannath Puri. But on this year also, he left Jagannath Puri to travel with. He wanted to go alone, but his associates insisted, one assistant, just take one assistant. And he traveled all the way down the western coast to the southern tip of India, Kanyakumari, and then up the western side. He wandered alone for 2 years as a sannyasi, a beggar, without possessions, without home, without anything. Why? Just to give us the gift of transcendental happiness and love of God. So beautiful. Yes, we are commemorating that extent of the Lord's love for us. And Srila Prabhupada, for the very same reason, he accepted sannyas. He was living in Vrindavan, in the very heart of where the Rasalila is performed, in the eternal home of Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami. On August the 13th, which happened to be a Friday that year, of 1965. Srila Prabhupada boarded the Jaladuta, a cargo steamship. And he sailed across several oceans, several continents, 38 days. Enduring seasickness, heart attacks. He came to New York City. Prabhupada said he had $7. But he couldn't spend any of it because no one wanted rupees. I was just listening to a lecture. Prabhupada said 40 rupees, which was $7. He said, in New York in 1965, everyone or anyone spends that much in 1 hour. And he was very, very conservative when he said that. He lived for years in America. When he got back to India, he still had the same 40 rupees. He had nothing, and he didn't know anyone. He got a stroke, got robbed, got death threats. Srila Prabhupada took sannyas for the same reason Lord Chaitanya did. Left his beautiful home, left all his loving associates, out of compassion for us. That is the Lord's love, and that is the love of one who loves the Lord. Lord Chaitanya got an instruction from his guru. Take the holy name of Krishna. Harinama, 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 eva kevalam kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiranyata. There is no better way in this age of Kali of awakening that pure love of God than the chanting of the holy names of Hari, of the Lord. Nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shaktis. The Lord has many names, and each name is invested with all of his powers. And he said, spread this holy name throughout the world. And Srila Prabhupada, his first meeting with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, 1922, Ultatunga Junction Road in Calcutta. By the way, earlier this year, or actually last year, we got full ownership of that building, One Ultatunga Junction Road. We're on the rooftop. Prabhupada got the order from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. But, which is a common word in Kali Yuga, although we have full ownership, there's other people who live in three-fourths of the building, and it's not that easy to get them out, because in India, ownership doesn't mean much. Occupancy means more. So we have no access to go to the roof. But if you go next door, they let you go up and look at it. But hopefully in time, we will get the occupancy also. But there, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave him an order. You are an intelligent young man. Take this message of Lord Chaitanya and teach it in the English language all over the world. Srila Prabhupada was just married, and he just had a child. And he had a job. He wanted to be responsible, but he took that order in his heart of hearts. And he raised his children and took care of his wife and did his grihastha duties, but was always eager. Although he was so responsible in his family duties and in his occupation, in every possible way, he was always helping his guru, always helping his god brothers and god sisters. And very, very deeply immersed in performing his sadhana every day. In his heart of heart, he was always planning, I'm going to do it. And he took sannyas to do it. And he got on that Jaladuta and sailed across the world and came to America to do it. And he traveled around the world 12 times to do it. The There's a beautiful verse in the Gita. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. And Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, this means to accept the will of Guru as one's life and soul. Because the will of Guru is God's will. The spirit of the will is to take shelter of the holy name, to take shelter of the humble spirit of devotion, and to share that great treasure with others. It's nothing fanatical, something very beautiful. And here in Dallas, our hearts naturally flow to the lotus feet of Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, who is also such an illustrious example of this most sacred principle. He committed his everything to assisting Srila Prabhupada. And as we were saying the other night, he was so enthusiastic and so determined. And Srila Prabhupada, seeing that wholehearted surrender of love, Prabhupada had so much trust in him. Prabhupada wanted... At first, there was just little storefronts, and Prabhupada himself was going out and playing a bongo and chanting in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco and Tompkins Square Park in New York. He wanted to establish Harinam Sankirtan parties. It was Tamal Krishna Goswami that actually started them in an organized way. And Prabhupada was so pleased. Then Back to Godhead magazine started being printed. Prabhupada wanted them distributed. Tamal Krishna Goswami was the first person to actually organize large distribution of Back to Godhead. Prabhupada wanted more temples, sizable temples. He called Tamal Krishna Goswami to start a temple in Los Angeles, which was to become Prabhupada's national headquarters. In London, he wanted books to be distributed. Tamal Krishna Goswami took book distribution to a level that was unimaginable before. When Srila Prabhupada went to Europe to establish Krishna consciousness, he called Tamal Krishna Goswami to help set up the first temple in Hamburg, Germany. And then when they got that little place in Berry Street in London, he called Tamal Krishna Goswami to set up the standards and organize a good temple there and inspire devotees with real his spirit. Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish Krishna consciousness in India. Who did he call? Tamal Krishna Goswami, come to India. You be the GBC of the entire country. That means under me, you are in charge of everything for this nation. And Prabhupada was spending maximum amount of funds and putting maximum amount of his own personal energy there. And in Jaipur, Tamal Krishna Goswami took sannyas. For the same reason Srila Prabhupada took sannyas. For the same reason that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas 500 years ago. To just give his life and soul to serving. Just a few days ago, I was with one of my godbrothers, and he was saying how there was another godbrother. Someone we're not talking about today. And devotees, some leaders of our society were complaining to Srila Prabhupada, and this person I was talking to was sitting right there. And they were complaining to Prabhupada that this particular devotee, he was, as far as they were concerned, he was taking funds and he wasn't taking it out of ISKCON, but he was using it recklessly. According to certain whims that he had. And he wasn't doing, you know, he wasn't doing this so correctly and wasn't doing this so correctly. And Prabhupada looked at them and said, yes, sometimes people do like that. He said, he didn't approve of him doing like that. But he said, but one thing I will say about this man, he loves me. And he's committed his life to me. And even in the most difficult situation, I know I could call upon him and he'll get it done because he loves me. Now, in regard to Tamal Krishna Goswami, who I'm not talking about in that case, you know, different devotees, you know, had different complaints about him. Because sometimes he was very intense and very heavy to some people. To me, he was never intense or heavy. He was intense, but not heavy. For me, he was always very sweet and affectionate and kind and loving. I don't remember him ever, besides the first two times I met him. In 1971, I don't remember he ever chastised me after that. Very affectionate, very loving, very soft heart. But sometimes for the mission, he was trying to accomplish what he knew that Prabhupada wanted. But let whatever anybody wants to say, say what they say. But the reality is, Prabhupada had such trust and faith in his surrender, his love, and his devotion, and his sincerity, that Prabhupada would call upon him. When there was the greatest needs. And when Srila Prabhupada was passing from this world, he called on Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami to be at his bedside and to be in charge of coordinating everything around this final pastime of Srila Prabhupada. He loved him. He wanted him close and near. What an example of commitment, of surrender, of love. So this is what initiation is about, developing this spirit. And what we expect from all of you is to understand that the basis of developing that love, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained, developing a taste for the chanting of the holy name. It is our first priority. It is foundational to what we do, is to develop a real commitment to taking shelter of Krishna's names and to serve the Vaishnavas. The name of Krishna is not different than Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigra. It's the way that Krishna makes himself fully accessible to everyone, at anyone, anywhere, and at any time. And there's no hard and fast rules for chanting. Srila Prabhupada had said that 90% of our spiritual progress is according to how we chant the holy names. But then Lord Chaitanya taught us the mentality that we should develop to actually chant the names in a way that Krishna is pleased. Trinarapi Sunichena, Tador Iva Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Humility like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, offering all respect to others and expecting none in return. That is how we can chant the holy names in a way that we will access the taste of the holy name. Because we're pleasing Krishna. Krishna reveals himself in his name. Radharani reveals herself in her name. Vaishnav Seva, to serve the devotees. There should be no sectarian spirit. Within ISKCON, we are all at Prabhupada's lotus feet. Some of us are taking the role of Diksha Guru, some of Shiksha Guru, some of Atma Pradarshika Guru, some as temple presidents, some as GBCs, some temple commanders, some pujaris, some cooks, cleaners, accountants, congregational members, Sankirtan leaders, book distributors, swamis, mothers, fathers, teachers, students. Whatever our role may be, we're all here just to assist Prabhupada in his mission of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. We're a family. We shouldn't allow this ego, I'm better than you, my guru's better than yours, my temple's better than yours. You can think that, but understand that somebody else is thinking that theirs is better. And for them, they're right, and for you, you may be right. So honor and respect that reality. Yes? And in doing so, we create unity. Unity and harmony. And more than anything else, that is what will attract people to the path of bhakti. When we are sincerely taking shelter of the holy name, of reading Srimad Bhagavatam and discussing it together and serving in unity. If we are united in these basic principles of bhakti, in other words, if we have community where we love and respect each other because of our common bond of Srila Prabhupada's service, that will attract the world. But if we're fighting with each other, if we don't respect each other, if we don't love each other, then who's going to take us very seriously? So this is all important. Cooperation with our seniors and respect and cooperation and affection among each other without a sectarian spirit. Namaruchi, developing a taste for the holy name, Vaishnav Seva, serving the Lord's devotees with love and respect, and Jivadoya. Jivadoya means being instruments of compassion to all souls. Srila Prabhupada said, that's why we have these temples. We have these temples so that the ordinary people can come and associate with devotees and see the beauty and the harmony of association with devotees. If we don't have harmony and love for each other, if we're not really focused together on chanting the holy names and giving this gift, Then when people come to the temple, they'll see the deity, they'll get some Agyata Sugriti, but they're not going to get that much. But if they feel the love between devotees and they feel the love of the devotees, that will change their hearts. Their hearts will open to receive the message. And it will go deep to their very souls. So this is the real challenge. We have book distribution, we have Harinam Kirtan, we have Kalachanji's restaurant, where people all walks of life are coming and enjoying prasad. Srila Prabhupada has said, if you appreciate anything having to do with Krishna, you make great spiritual advancement, because appreciation is a form of love. If someone tastes prasad and says, this tastes good, that person is making great spiritual progress because he's actually showing love for Krishna. If someone likes a devotee, says, these are nice people, the person's making progress. So we have all these methods of which somehow or other trying to awaken this love of God in people's hearts. We may not have love ourselves, but we want to be messengers of Srila Prabhupada's love. That's what ISKCON is. We're all messengers of Srila Prabhupada's love, trying to connect to it and give it to others. That's beautiful. And in order to protect all these great treasures that we're speaking about, we take the vow of following the four regulative principles. Illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating. Because these types of activities very much entangle us and perpetuate the bondage of selfishness and egoism. They stand to divide us from Krishna and divide us from each other and divide us from real relationship with other living beings. Because they perpetuate, I am the enjoyer. I am the center of the universe. And that means everybody else is, their existence is according to what makes me feel right. These four regulative principles put us in the mode of goodness if we follow them. But that's not all. If we study the 10 offenses to the holy names, and if we study the Vaishnav Shastras, we shouldn't waste time criticizing others. Could have an even more disastrous effect than breaking the four regulative principles. It's very serious. If we're following the four regulative principles and chanting 16 rounds and we think, I'm so advanced, I can judge and criticize other people, you've missed the point. That can undo everything you've done more than not even doing it. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya and Chaitanya Bhagavat, he raised both of his hands and said, just take shelter of chanting the holy names of Krishna and do not criticize others, and I'll take you back to Godhead. Hari Hari. Now, that doesn't minimize the four regulative principles. And it doesn't minimize, you know, reading Srimad Bhagavatam and doing nice service. But it does maximize how much the Lord is displeased when we criticize others and how much he's pleased when we appreciate others. Srila Prabhupada. I was just listening today to a lecture. And Srila Prabhupada was talking about the difference between swans and crows. Crows like to be where there's garbage. Now, one of my hobbies is to look for real life illustrations of Prabhupada's teachings. And I become very attracted where I see the opportunity. So at our temple in Bombay, in Chopati, there's a beautiful, well, I can't say it's so beautiful, but it's a nice garden. I think it's beautiful. Considering it's in the middle of downtown Bombay, it's pretty good. It's not like, you know, if you have a spacious lawn. But we have some nice flowers. And I remember I was sitting there, and I was watching butterflies, very beautiful little butterflies. Some of them had like orange and purple and white wings. And they were... They're so quiet. They don't make noise. They don't buzz or anything like that. At least I didn't hear it. You know, flies go bzzz. But butterflies, you're just like, you just hear their wings a little, and they go from one flower and drink nectar, and then went to another flower and drink nectar, and then flutter, drink more nectar. They're always with flowers. Yes? It's just so beautiful. They're always with a flower. They're always sucking nectar, and they're so pleasing to see the way they... And then there was one crow came by and did his thing. He dropped some excrement from his rear side in the garden. Now, the butterfly didn't pay any attention. But then I saw all of a sudden a whole, like a gang of flies. Like, bzzz. They were buzzing and buzzing so enthusiastically, drinking that nectar. And they were, you know, when they drank that, they were just hunting for another similar experience. I was thinking, there's a difference. And then I walked out of the garden, and there was this garbage can. And people threw all kinds of stuff in it. And it really smelled bad. Really smelled bad. It was a barrel. It was actually a barrel. And I could smell it, you know, from 10 feet away. And lined up on the rim of the garbage can were crows. They were all lined up facing inward. And they were just relishing the smell. And every now and then they dived down. And they'd come up with this putrefied substance of garbage, and they'd be chewing it with such enthusiasm until they devoured it. Then they'd dive down and get more, and then they'd sit up on that little ridge, and they were all having a feast. They were all together having this feast of putrefied, smelly, decomposed trash. It's quite graphic. And I was really ecstatic to watch this, because this is exactly what Prabhupada teaches us. It's for real. Finding faults with others is like those flies eating crow stool. more like the crows eating garbage. And the crow stool is just the recycled garbage that they eat. And trying to look for the good qualities in others, and trying to speak things that enlighten and hear things and speak things that elevate our consciousness with positive spiritual substance. It's like being a honeybee, or like being those beautiful butterflies. Politics, criticism is like death to our propensity to love and serve. So it is all important that we understand this is what commitment, this is what initiation really means, all of these things. Because this is how we make spiritual progress. By taking shelter of the holy name in Srila Prabhupada's books, by serving the devotees with humility, respect, and honor, by not criticizing, by not becoming political with our own selfish agenda, but to really want to serve and please Krishna, Guru, and the devotees. If you want, Prabhupada said, if you want to show your love for me, you cooperate with each other. How we love, how we show our love for each other is how we show our love for Prabhupada and Krishna. And how we're willing to extend individually and collectively through these beautiful projects to share this lovely gift of bhakti with the world. Thank you very much. It's long past 10:10. On 10:10:10. But at least I didn't give a 10-hour lecture. So I'm very grateful. My dear God brother Bhakti Sundar Goswami Maharaj is with us today. And I'm very grateful for the blessings of Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami on myself and all of us, because this abode that we are sitting is one of the many manifestations of his love for Prabhupada and Sri Sri Radha Kalachandji. I'm very grateful to Nityananda Prabhu. Given his life and his soul, along with his beloved wife, Manju Ali Devi, through all the ups and downs and challenges and blissful times and everything else that comes in this world, remain steadfast in their loving devotional service to Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, and all the Vaishnavas. And they are so kind to me, like little mothers and fathers for me. That's how I love them. And to all the devotees here in Dallas and Houston, carrying on the mission, Lord Chaitanya. So Special gratitude to Urja Swat Prabhu. Who received the loving stroke of Krishna's hand upon him. And even though encountered a very devastating illness, stroke, has come out of it with such gratitude and such appreciation and such deep, he's transformed a tragedy into a blessing. He's come out of it with compassion and realizations and wisdom and love. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada is showing all of us what real Krishna consciousness is through your word as well. Thank you. To take away his ability to play the mridanga and sing kirtan, and yet he's smiling, he's laughing, because he knows that the will of the Lord is perfect. Thank you. So Rasaraj Prabhu, if you could call each person individually, and then you could offer your obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. And then when you come up, the vows that you'll take is to chant at least 16 rounds each day, and then state the four regulative principles, and also to aspire to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Srila Prabhupada's devotees. Thank you.
Rohit Prabhu?
Dear Gurudev, today I take a vow, follow the four regulative principles, namely no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling and no intoxication, and also take a vow to chant at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra attentively every day on my beats, and I aspire to serve servants of the servants of servants of Srila Prabhupada, and devotees will try to please you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of, can we make this louder? On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara, I'm very happy to give you the name Rama Sundar Das.
Follow that with Dharmendra Prabhu. I vow to chant minimum 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day on my chanting beads. I vow to follow the four regulatory principles, namely no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex. I vow to serve the Srila Prabhupada's mission by becoming a servant of the servant of the servant of Srila Prabhupada and his devotees.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara, very grateful to give you the name Ishwara Krishna Das. Say Jai 10 million times louder, please.
Ishwara Krishna Prabhu ki.
Please don't make us remind you again to the teacher.
Mother Reena, please get ready.
Guru Maharaj, in the presence of Radha, Shri Shri Radha Kalachandji and all the Vaishnava, I am taking this vow to chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day attentively. I'm taking vow to follow the four regulatory principles, including no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex, and no gambling. I'm also taking the vow to assist in Srila Prabhupada's missions and aspire to be a servant of a servant of a servant of the Vaishnava. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada, we're very honored to give you the name Damodar Kumar Das.
Manish Prabhu, please. You ready?
Dear Guru Maharaj, I take a vow to follow four regulative principles. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. I also take a vow to chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day attentively on my japa beads. I take a vow to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission in the mood of servant of the servant of the servant of the devotee.
Thank you very much. Of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara, very happy to give you the name Radhika Leela Devi Das.
Radhika Leela Mataji ki. Rishali Mataji, please be ready. Hare Krishna Maharaj. On this day, in front of Radha Kalachandji, I take a vow to follow the four regulative principles: no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, And I also take a vow to chant a minimum of 16 rounds on my mala beads every day with attentiveness. And I also take a vow to serve the to be a servant of the servant of the servant of the devotees of the Lord and Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our Sampradaya, I'm very grateful to offer you the name Madana Kishore Das.
Satish Prabhu, please be ready.
If you could not stand in front of Maharaj, please.
Dear Guru Maharaj, today in the presence of Radha Kalachanji, I vow to follow the four regulative principles, namely, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, and I vow to chant minimum 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day on my Japa Mala beads, and I vow to serve in the mission of Srila Prabhupada in the mood of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas.
Thank you very much. On Srila Prabhupada's behalf and our Guru Parampara, very grateful to give you the name Raja Manjari Devi Dasi.
Siddhaganga Mamataji, please be ready.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Today I take a vow to chant minimum 60 runs every day attentively. And I take a vow to follow four regulative principles with no meat eating, no illusions of sex, no intoxication, no gambling. And I take a vow to follow Prabhupada's missions with the servant of the servant of the Anuvani Das. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara, very honored to offer you the name Shankarshan Nitai Das.
Atul Prabhu, please be ready.
Hare Krishna, dear Guru Maharaj, I'm in front of Radha Kalachanji. I'm following four regulative principles. Illusion sex, no heat mating, no intoxication and gambling, and I'm going to chant in my chanting beads 16 rounds sincerely. and I'm going to serve for Prabhupada mission for devotees sincerely. Hare Krishna.
On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara, very happy to offer you the name Sundari Janapa Devi Dasi.
Sarika Mataji, please be ready.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaji. I take a vow today to follow four regulative principles. Namely, no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. Also, I take a vow today to chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra on my Java beads attentively every day. Also, I take a vow today to assist in Srila Prabhupada's mission in the mode of servant of the servants of the servants of the Vaishnavas.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara, very honored to offer you the name Balaram Prasad Das.
Anjanadri Prabhu, please be ready.
In front of Kalachanji, I take the vow to chant 16 rounds minimum every day on my japa beads, and I'll follow the four regulative principles: no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxication. And I vow to serve the Prabhupada's, Srila Prabhupada's mission by serving the servants and servants of Krishna Krishna's.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our Gaudiya Sampradaya, very grateful to give you the name Siddheshwari Priya Devi Dasi.
Lina Mataji, please be ready.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prayashtaya Bhutale Shrimati Radhanath Swamti Namane. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prayashtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine. Dear Guru Maharaj, I take the vow of following the four regulative principles, namely no illicit sex, no intoxicants, no gambling, and no meat eating. I also take the vow of chanting at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for the rest of my life. I also take the vow of serving Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON in the mood of the servant of the servant of the servant. Thank you, Srila Gurudev.
On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara, I'm very honored to offer you the name Achyuta Govinda Das.
Gopasana Mataji, please be ready.
Of Radha Kala Chanji and your presence, I take a vow to follow four regulative principles: no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, and no illicit sex. I also vow to chant at least 16 rounds on my beats throughout my life. I vow to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission in the mood of serving you and serving the servants of the servants of the servants.
And our Guru Parampara, very happy to give you the name Lalita Madhavi Devi Dasi.
Santosh Prabhu, please be ready.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In front of Radha Kala Chanji and all the Vaishnavas, I vow to chant at least 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra every day attentively. I vow to follow the four regulative principles of no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, and no intoxication. And I vow to serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada in the spirit of servant of the servant of the servant.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara, very grateful to offer you the name. Gopi Pallabi Devi Dasi.
Gopi Pallabi Mataji Ki. Kusum Gupta, please be ready.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. On this day, I take a vow in front of Radha Khalachanji, all Vaishnava assembled here, and you, I take a vow to follow four regulative principles, namely no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. And I take a vow to chant 16 rounds of, minimum 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra on Japa beads attentively for the rest of my life. And I take a vow to assist in the Srila Prabhupada's mission in the mood of servant of the servant of the servant. Thank you.
Very honored to offer you the name Sanatan Govinda Das.
Madhavi Channa, please be ready.
Dear Guru Maharaj, in front of Lord Radha Kalachanji and all Vaishnavas, I take vow to chant at least 16 Hare Krishna Mahamantra rounds on my japa bead attentively and sincerely, and I vow to follow all four principles, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, and no illicit sex. And I vow to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission in mode of servant of servant of servant of Vaishnavas.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara, I'm very happy to give you the name Kamala Gopika Devi Dasi.
Kamal Gopika Mataji Ki. Kalpana Bansikar, please be ready.
Dear Guru Maharaj, Hare Krishna. Today I take the vow to follow four regulative principles. No meat eating, including onion and garlic. No intoxication, including tea and coffee. No gambling, no illicit sex. And also I take a vow to chant 16 rounds every day on my japa beads attentively. And I take the vow to assist Srila Prabhupada in the mood of servant of the servant of the servant.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada, we're honored to give you the name Madhavi Gopi Devi Dasi.
Dear Guru Maharaj, in front of Radha Kalachanji, I'm taking a vow to chant at least 16 rounds a day. I take a vow to follow four regulative principles: no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, and no illicit sex. I vow to be to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission and the spirit of servant of the servant of the all the Vaishnavas.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara, very grateful to give you the name Kamini Priya Devi Dasi. This time we would like to request His Holiness Bhakti Sundar Goswami Maharaj to speak some words of blessings to everyone, and then Nityananda Prabhu to do the same.
Hare Krishna. I'm speechless to see how much joy and bliss and gratefulness the devotees have for each other and for their Guru Maharajas. I'm overwhelmed, actually. I don't know what to say. But if anything I can say is that I wish you the best in your journey home. Back home, back to Godhead. He didn't give me any tip for that. It just happens spontaneously. So I'm very grateful to be part of such a beautiful and wonderful family as ISKCON and Srila Prabhupada's mission. And to have such a dear and very caring and loving God brother as His Holiness Srila Radhanath Maharaj, I hope that also His blessing always upon me to go on in this service. And I wish all of you, you know, the best from the bottom of my heart. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
When I first came to this temple in 1993, I was very much amazed by the presence of Sri Sri Radha Kalachanji, how powerful they are as deities, and all of the deities, Lord Jagannath, Lord Baladev, Lady Subhadra. We had Radha Govinda with us at the time also, and of course Sri Sri Gauri Nithai, and the other assembled deities in the form of their pictures. And I always thought to myself that with the beautiful decoration, seeing this beautiful temple and the atmosphere that was here, I'd heard that His Holiness Satsurup Maharaj had described how a petal of Vrindavan had sprung up in Dallas, and that this place was non different from Vrindavan. And I can honestly say, since June the 6th of 1993, when I first arrived here, the day I arrived here at this temple, I've always felt that this temple is actually not different from Sri Vrindavan Dham. Having a devotee of your caliber come here and initiate these wonderful devotees going through their procedures of qualifying themselves for initiation, etc. And of course, on this wonderful day of 10-10-10. I feel so encouraged. I feel that all of our devotees here and any other devotees from whichever temple that we may be from we feel totally encouraged when we see an initiation ceremony like this. And it reminds us of our own initiation ceremony. And actually, my personal realization is that I feel I get reinitiated. Every time I attend an initiation ceremony, I feel like I'm going through my own initiation. And it's such a blissful time. I was looking at the faces of these devotees who are taking initiation. They were all so very blissful today. This is actually the most blissful day of your lives. And the great advantage you have is not only that we're taking initiation in front of such powerful deities who are very beloved to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada personally, with his own hands, established these deities here in Dallas on the day of Radha Astami. None other than Radha Astami of 1972. And next, the year after next is their 40th celebration. This is their 38th year of their presence here in Dallas. But also in the presence of such a stalwart spiritual master who is so committed to Srila Prabhupada's mission. Finally, it is always our steadiness in Krishna consciousness. We're fully committed to pushing forward Srila Prabhupada's mission, who works so hard to set this mission up all over the world, and to have such a wonderful example of his disciples who are here, who work very hard, so very hard. Those of us who are grand disciples have to take example from that and push this mission forward as much as we can with all of our life and soul, and to give up our other desires that we have that have no real purpose when they don't serve Srila Prabhupada's mission. So all of you are very fortunate now to have become inducted into this wonderful great Vaishnava heritage, the Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. On behalf of our deities, I extend to all of you the greatest of blessings so that you may serve His Holiness Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj with all of your life and soul, and take every word that comes from His lips as your order, your personal order to you, each and every one of you, to all of us as well who are here, and ensure that you're actually following those orders with all of your heart and soul, and think every moment of your life according to those orders, and be in that moment where you are with the order of the spiritual master, and let there be nothing else in your life that attracts you. Thank you very much.